What's up, entrepreneurs and business owners? We have a crazy exciting episode for you today. I have two people in the studio with me today. Man, these guys are special. We're going to talk about some really cool stuff today, a little different, but something that, man, it checks all the boxes. It hits all the things we care about, that we love about our community, strategic business development, being able to combine compassion with economic growth. This is going to be awesome. I have the legendary David Bradley, president, CEO of the Athens Area Chamber of Commerce. And I have, the first time we've gotten to meet in person, I have admired him he's been on stage, I've been on the audience, I've known who he is for a long time. I'm so excited we got to meet today in person, get to have this conversation. Matt Stevens, he is a director of community impact for Creature Comforts. You guys have the Get Comfortable campaign that is, man, blazing trails, changing lives, doing things that we didn't even know was possible inside of Athens and our community. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us in, Chad. This is awesome in the plush studios here at the Stronger Business Summit. Man,
that's right.
We're jacked up to be here.
We're high of the highs of downtown Athens, Georgia today in the studio.
You have the view, yeah.
Matt, welcome, man.
It's great to be here.
And my hat goes off to you guys for what y'all are doing, what you've been able to accomplish. And I'm a data numbers, you know, personality, and seeing some of the things behind that we're going to talk about and share today is amazing. It's not things that just make you feel good. We have results on paper of, like, this is drastically changing communities and changing lives. And it's awesome. I think y'all are already early into it, getting modeled from other places, other communities. This is world changing, and it's happening right here in our backyard in Athens, Georgia. Now, David, you're the brainchild. You saw everything coming together here. You're the strategy behind this, man.
I'm the strategy behind getting everybody in this room.
Tell us about why you wanted to do this and why you think this is important.
So, honestly, Chad, I mean, you have people all over the country for all practical purposes listening to the podcast. I had the opportunity to be on a couple months ago and had people who had no clue that would listen to the podcast that called me up and begged me not ever to be on again.
Whatever.
I've had the opportunity to work with Matt, to work with Fenwick Broyard and the staff over at Creature Comforts and the Get Comfortable campaign, sort of almost at the ground level of this program. I think it is the most important social issue that we can address in the long term. The Chamber, is involved. Our mission is to help create an environment in which businesses can best realize sustainable growth and prosperity. We know that workforce is the number one issue that faces businesses today. So we look at how can we help businesses today have a valued and valuable workforce. But more importantly, how can we create a valued and valuable workforce for the future? As we know that there are thousands of jobs that are on the horizon coming in that will pay, that have a high wage, high benefit program. How do we find valued and valuable workers for those guys in 5, 10, 15, and 20 years? So I got connected to Matt and the Get Comfortable campaign at Creature Comforts that addresses, I think, the single most important issue that drives long-term workforce development, as well as capturing the heart that we all have, this emotional tie to creating a best environment for our kids and for our future.
Man, I love that. And I don't know that there's another chamber president in the country that's thinking 5, 10, 15 years in the future like you are. And as somebody that lives in Athens and has businesses in Athens, I appreciate it. I'm grateful for how you look at things from a community, from a business, from a long-term perspective. Matt, for you guys, there's a couple of things I'm interested in diving into before we talk specifically about the Get Comfortable campaign and the third grade reading level. You mentioned, we were chatting before we started recording, businesses should be a force for good. And I think so many times, especially as young entrepreneurs and business owners, we get hung up on profit or what we can get out of the business as an owner, or how do we make the numbers work? And it's really easy in the grind to lose sight of we have a responsibility to the community and to other things outside of just ourselves and our bottom line. How did y'all arrive there? How did y'all set this up from the beginning? How did you kind of get through some of those challenges of profit versus being a force for good? And why the heck should everybody do that?
Yeah, that is the question. Yes, I wish I had my two founders right here, Chris Heron, Adam Beecham, co-founders, still leadership at the company. If you were to say, why did you roll the dice in craft beer in Georgia in Athens back in 2013 when they were doing all the build out and fundraising, they would essentially have said in their own words two things. We believe that business can be a force for good, generally speaking. Isn't always, but it can be.
Sure.
And then specifically based on their ties to Georgia and to Athens, they hope that this community would be demonstrably, measurably better off because of businesses like ours that decide to root down here. Now, back in 2013, if you would have said, okay, I agree with both of those statements. What's the plan? What's the strategy? They would say, we have no idea. What we know how to do is brew and sell beer, we think, we hope. But what we are going to do is come in rather than a cause-based approach, you know, we really care about this, and so we're going to throw our weight behind that. Nothing wrong with that per se, but they just realize coming from a different direction, we're going to have resources, we hope. We have time, we have space, we have money. Eventually, back in 2013, they would have said. And we want to make our resources available. There's a lot of things that we could do philanthropically. There's probably a short list of things that we should be doing. And if we can get stakeholders around the table who know what they're talking about, if we get access to the needs assessment data, if we could look at the county's comprehensive plan, the information is out there. The community knows what it needs, and how can we best match our limited resources? No matter how big they get, they're limited. How do we match those to community-identified priorities where we can actually affect change? That was essentially the starting point. And so as the brand grew and as the opportunity and influence grew, it was a chance to start asking questions rather than, you know, barging in with, here's what we're going to do. So it's just a different starting point, and where they ultimately landed is what we now call Get Comfortable. That's really our flagship community impact program, but it starts from a different place, I guess.
Man, that is so awesome. And I love that from a business owner perspective, because I think a lot of us want to do good, but I don't know, I truly don't have anything I'm like super passionate about, or I like care enough about, or I'm knowledgeable enough about to say, hey, this is what we're doing for the next 10 years.
Right.
But knowing, hey, I want to contribute. I want to allocate resources and time and space and capacity to being a member of the community and doing good, and let's figure that out. I think that's such a smart, and I think we're going to see this replicate through the whole process, strategic approach. And I think that's what I'm seeing is different from what you guys are doing the most anybody else. You're being extremely strategic, which to me equals sustainable.
That's exactly it. I mean, the framework that I think, and we learned this from thought leaders and academics and the whole thing, we're trying to balance meaningfulness and effectiveness.
Yes.
We want our philanthropic activity to be meaningful. We want people to understand the why. We want people to care. We want hearts, right? Passion is the fuel in the tank of philanthropy. Hold on to that. But we want to be balancing that with like high impact. What's the highest and best thing that we can do? So it's like, it's heart and head. People need to care, but we want to be doing the most effective things. And what you will sometimes find in the philanthropic space is a bit of an imbalance in one direction or the other. It's super meaningful. There's a story there. We all know the story. We all care. Is that a priority? Who knows? We haven't even asked that question. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. And so back to strategy, it's I guess the difference between being generous, which is awesome, and we need more generosity to be sure, but being confident and strategic about matching your generosity to priorities. It's just a different, it's a different game.
Man, and I think when you phrase it that way, it truly speaks to the entrepreneur and the business owner and a lot of our audience. I don't want to just feel good. I want to move the freaking needle.
Right.
I want to accomplish something. And I don't want to give $100 to 100 different places if I can give 10 grand or 50 grand to one spot and really make a difference and play the long game. And both of you guys, y'all are trading a lot of short-term things and feel good for long-term strategy and benefit and really moving that needle. which kind of brings us to how did y'all end up finding the purpose of the Get Comfortable campaign and arriving at the importance of this third grade reading level?
Yes. There's a whole daisy chain in action. I'll be as brief as possible.
Was this just like business? There's trial and error of multiple things and you landed here?
To some extent. I mean, right from the get-go, we knew that we needed people around the table and we had a sense of who those people should be. I mean, ultimately, when you're talking about consensus community priorities, there's really, you know, places to go find those voices. And so that is to say, early on, you know, we're 10 years old as a business. About 9 years ago, we started to assemble what we today call just the Get Comfortable Advisory Council. Exactly like what it sounds. It's representatives from local government in the form of our city manager. It's the executive leadership of the Athens Area Community Foundation, United Way Northeast Georgia. Our needs assessment database in our community is known as the Athens Wellbeing Project. We want a representation from that. Envision Athens is our 20-year comprehensive plan. We wanted Sally Kimmel Shepherd, the director of that. A few academics on campus that study the efficacy of social services in our city, et cetera. We want to get those people around the table. And essentially, once we move into a new impact cycle, we are asking the question, which I've already said, hey, y'all, here's how much money we think we have. This is the sort of, you know, the sort of people that can participate through all these generous businesses. What should we be doing? You know, a lot of options help us understand what our impact area is. Where they steered us back in 2021 when we re-engaged this conversation, they said, based on how many dollars are now at play, et cetera, we think y'all are ready to tackle a thornier, bigger, more upstream problem. And it was our advisory council that led us to early literacy as an impact area. Subsequent to that, we said, okay, we really know nothing about that. Let's get a focus group together, which was comprised of who you would expect, teachers from the district, principals, leadership at CCSD, Clark County School District, some of the nonprofits that work in early literacy, the library system, et cetera. We work with that group over the course of about 8 sessions in 2021 saying, okay, early literacy is a huge receptacle. There's a lot of interventions within that. What's our metric of success? What should we be measuring that shows that we're winning? And then 2, what's possible? If we are all in for how long, this is your space. Y'all tell us what's the needle we're trying to move. And so after those sessions, where we got to is our metric of success is third grade reading level in Clark County schools amongst our 14 elementary schools. How we that's the metric. And then 2, they said what's possible is if y'all are all in, we think that 19% reading proficiency back in 2021, which was certainly impacted adversely by COVID.
Sure.
To be sure. But they said we think with enough focus, energy, enough coordination, that 20% essentially could become 60%. And that's going to be the tipping point. So they said that is the moonshot. That is what you should be going for. From 20% reading proficiency third grade to 60%, go all in, because at that point, we will have developed a mechanism that's working. And at that point, we can secure it in perpetuity. And so that became, you know, the goal. And so at that point, we put out an RFP, a request for proposal, saying, hey, agencies in Northeast Georgia, if you are equipped, have the capacity, have the ability to help us move this needle, please apply. We got that stack of proposals. We took it to what's now called our implementation committee, which is more or less a subset of that focus group. And we've been meeting with them monthly since 2021 to be selecting the agency that we're funding, to be working on clearing the path in the school district to introduce the intervention. And where we are is at the very, very, very tail end of a 2-year pilot. We are speaking today on Wednesday. What is it? May 21st? Yes. Or Tuesday, rather. Tomorrow is the last day of school. So as of tomorrow, the second academic year will have been complete, and we're going to look at what happened in year 2. We have year 1 data because we have a complete year 1 at our pilot school, H.P. Stroud, but we're about to see, did we in fact cycle our data? Because if so, we're looking to start a pretty aggressive expansion across the county.
Man, I love this. This has kind of been a 2-year pilot program, and we're at the end of year 2.
That's it.
We're one day away
yes.
from ending this. This is amazing. This is super cool.
Oh, make no mistake. And why is third grade reading proficiency important? up to that point, children have been learning to read. But in third grade, the switch is flipped to reading to learn. So if you haven't been, if you haven't learned to read, chances are minimized that you're going to be able to read to learn. You're probably
that's
not.
When the gaps start to grow. That third grade is that turning point that's in the educational the journey. Place. So if there's a gap at third grade when you are now expected to read, to do all of your learning, that gap will grow over time statistically.
And the numbers I remember from the talk I listened to a couple of years ago at the Chamber event was, I mean, not only is it for the direction of success for these kids, it also turns really quickly because of that directly tied statistics behind that reading level. Like that's incarceration or the kids that are in and out of different legal issues or things for the rest of their life.
I think, and you probably you may have the numbers, but ultimately I think it's a much higher percentage that that a student who's not able to read at third grade level will have a negative economic impact on society than somebody who can read at third grade level. And so to go from 20% to have a moonshot of 60% is bodacious, right? I mean, it is bodacious, and more power to these guys.
Lots of kids, lots of schools, three times or more change in the result of impact.
That's so can we talk about what happened in the first year?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me actually just – I love data, so let me just tag the correlation. Yes, the statistical relationship that has been measured over time is that an individual who's not reading on level at third grade is four times more likely to drop out from high school. And then there's the subsequent correlation between high school dropout and individuals becoming dependent upon social services, perhaps even criminal justice. And so what we've heard time and again from those who have been in this space, both locally and regionally, is it's almost like we can invest a few hundred thousand dollars today to develop a mechanism that changes the trajectory, or we will be spending untold millions as a community 10 years from now to house, clothe, feed, you know, et cetera, these same individuals. And so that's why this is a really critical issue. This is a really critical opportunity to invest to really change a lot of lives. And effectively, back to investment, to save our community money in the long term.
Which,
and so, yeah,
go which ahead. Comes back to speak to my love language of right. taxes and budgets. And as business owners and as individuals inside this community, we're going to pay for this. The front end or the back end, we get to choose here. And right. we have an opportunity to invest a little bit of money on the front end
right.
to save tremendous amounts of money on the back end. The other thing I love about this from a business perspective and some things we can learn from what you guys, kind of the process you went through and what's led to this level of success and where you're at right now, God, we lose this so fast in the business world of entrepreneurship. We want like now and we want to move fast. You guys didn't do that. Y'all were extremely patient. You called in experts. You spent tens, hundreds of hours of due diligence. You got opinions. You looked at all sorts of different metrics and options and called in people. Then you built relationships and partners, and you knew, hey, we can be way more impactful working with other people than trying to do this ourselves. That's so unique in business and nonprofit and any community, anything I've seen. And so hats off to you all for being just way smarter than the rest of us, of having the patience and the commitment to seeing this through the right way instead of how do we go now and how do we go alone or I can do this better than anybody else. And so I love that.
It's a cross-sector consortium. That's what Get Comfortable is. It is, you know, the mission of Get Comfortable is to channel the generosity of many towards the greatest local needs. The generosity of many today looks like dozens and dozens of local businesses of all shapes and scales that are all coordinating their philanthropic dollars through this thing. Because, like we're talking about, you want to feel generous and you want to feel confident that your generosity is changing things in the community, is solving problems. So you have all those stakeholders, all the businesses and donors. But then on in terms of the greatest local needs piece of that mission, I actually did a count because I created a slide. There are 34 different local stakeholders. in the schools, at the district, the chamber, et cetera. There are 34 individuals who have their fingerprints all over what we're actually doing in the school. It has been massaged from every possible direction, which is to say, well, I like to say, this is not something that we have built for the community. We have built it with the community. And I truly believe the coordination, the fact that so many different folks are essentially rowing in the same direction, I think that's why we're starting to see the progress that we're seeing, which we can get into now. I know David
this is so exciting to me. I mean, it's so exciting of what we're doing. And so I'm always going to be jazzed about the work.
Now, David, one thing I want everybody to understand, and this is, you know more about this than anybody else in Athens. You've looked at other cities. You have conversations with all sorts of different size businesses inside of our community. From my understanding, the number one thing holding Athens back from a, not a growth standpoint, but from an opportunity standpoint, is workforce and access to skilled workforce or educated workforce or having the housing necessary to house the workforce we need to be able to grow as a business and as a community. Is that?
Oh, no question about it. On March 31st, we had 12,761 jobs that were open and available in Athens, Clark County. 12,761 jobs that were available. Now we have total jobs in Athens are about 97,000. So it's 12,761 jobs that are open and unfilled. So that's and it's thousands of businesses who are not maximizing their success because they don't have the personnel to help them succeed.
And when we talk about business success, this could be hospitals that need nurses to be able to serve.
Make no mistake, it's hospitals.
It trickles down to the services you get as an individual, as a community, and the things we have access to every single day.
Absolutely. That's today.
Yeah.
And we are so blessed. We have companies like Meisner Corporation that has broke ground just this past month. That will be employing 1,800 with a starting wage rate in that $60,000 range, and that's a lot of jobs that are on the horizon. We can probably count 7,000 to 8,000 jobs that are on the horizon over the course of the next 5 or 6 years. Yeah, we have 12,761 jobs that are going unfilled. We have to act right here, right now, to get people employed now, but even more importantly, to build a valued and valuable workforce for the future.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about looking at the school system. And I think that's the other place that Athens struggles. And it's crazy. I don't know if there's other communities that experience it at the level we do in Athens. Is we have a huge issue with public school. And I don't know if it's perception, if it's reality, but everybody flees to Oconee to put their kids in school. And you work in Athens and you enjoy all the things that come along with being a native of Athens, but you're scared of the school system here. And as for the first time for me, I've got a 1-year-old, I got a little boy that's about to turn one, like all those things are popping. I'm like, we got to fix this. Like, this is insane.
So I think, and I can respond to that a little bit. I think perception is people's reality, right? So
sure.
It's easy to look at test scores, to look at third grade reading, look at some metrics and say, this is rough. But we've got to get the business community engaged and involved in the schools. You know, I'll say this. I don't know that a whole lot of educators would say this, but I think we ought to begin to start thinking that the customer of public schools is the business community, right?
Absolutely.
That's where
that's
where jobs. That's where quality of life is going to be developed, is through high quality jobs. And I believe that Dr. Hooker with Clark County School District is making magnificent changes in the school system. So now's the time in which the businesses have to get involved to begin to change perception. And then all of a sudden, the reality begins to change. We're talking about how do you get businesses involved in the school system? A pretty darn good way, get involved in the education system, a pretty dynamic way, is to get them plugged into the Get Comfortable campaign.
100%. And I despise working around a problem. I think that's the lazy approach. Let's fix the freaking problem. And you guys have had the courage and the work ethic to attack that and go do it. So how do we get behind it? You figured it out and you're seeing the results that come from that. What are the results and how do we get behind it and add fuel to this fire?
Yes. Okay. So as I said, 2 years, one school, one pilot. Let's make sure this thing is working and we're cycling data before we start scaling it anywhere. And as I said, we're right at the tail end of that second year. So what I have is a complete first year of data. And frankly, what we're seeing in our midpoint data from December this year, we're actually seeing higher trends. So don't count your chickens, but we're very confident that this year's data will be similarly strong. But let me tell you about last year. So this is the 2022-2023 academic year. How do you measure reading proficiency in third grade? Good news, we didn't have to invent some new tool. The Georgia Department of Education is already testing these kids with great consistency. That particular test is known as the iReady test. So iReady is a reading proficiency test being administered at all levels of elementary school. So the nice thing is, every student and, you know, our target population, which is third grade, like current third graders, second graders who are becoming third graders, and first graders who are obviously on that same path, what we're able to do is see a pre and post test, because students start the school year, they take the iReady in August to set a baseline of reading proficiency for the year, they take the iReady again at December, so they have a midpoint test, and then they have a May test. So that's, again, already being administered by the Department of Education. So we're able to take those results directly from the district, and to be completely transparent, this is not Creature Comforts analyzing the data and saying, hey, y'all, it's working, give us more money. We are paying a faculty member at UGA. Her name is Dr. Grace Begwell-Adams. She's an assistant dean in the College of Public Health, and most, I guess, apropos, she is the principal investigator of the Athens Wellbeing Project. So our needs assessment database in our county, she's already all up in that data. This is what she does. She's a real wizard and a wonderful person. So that is to say, we are paying Grace to take all the data, to do the research design, to set up the research to make sure we're controlling for all the variables. And then she's able to compare what's happening in our school, HP Stroud, to the other schools in our district. So think back to like seventh grade science class, the scientific method. Our test school is Stroud. That's where we're doing all the new stuff. We have two control schools in the district that are being compared. And I don't even know what the control schools are for the sake of like clean data. But what we are being told from Grace and her team is the two control schools were selected as you'd expect because they have similar demographics, similar testing scores, similar absentee data, and so forth. They're very close to Stroud. So what we saw in year one between the August and the May results is, I'll talk about the control schools first. Reading proficiency for those control schools, so these are just kids going to school all year like they normally would, but they saw an increase in reading proficiency of about 136%, which is a win. So go CCSD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Percentages can be deceptive, especially with small sample sizes, but just to give you the comparison, the apples to apples. So the control school saw an increase in proficiency between at the rate of 136%. Our kids increased in proficiency at about 644%.
Taste that.
Wow.
But here, honestly, percentages a little deceptive. Here's the stat, this next bit, that really got our superintendent, our director of data at the district to say, whoa, whoa, triple check that, please, to which we said, yes, they already have. We did not carry the one. So the most difficult to mobilize performance set, as you would expect, are those students who are two or more grade levels below. They start the school as a third grader reading like a first grader or earlier. Those, as you would expect, they're deeply entrenched. They're hard to mobilize into, you know, greater performance areas. So that's one of our subsets. So what we saw at our control schools is that group, the group who started the year two or more levels below at our control schools, that group decreased by about half. Again, go CCSD. That's awesome. What we saw at Stroud, however, is we saw about double the progress. Our students who started the year two or more levels below, they decreased by about 82%. And so to the superintendent, to the director of data at CCSD, when they see that the greatest gains made at HB Stroud were in the performance group that is the most difficult to mobilize, they said that is a huge deal, that we're seeing essentially double the progress at the most difficult to mobilize performance group.
You've got a set of kids that are so far behind and things are stacked against them. There's on average a 50% chance of improvement are coming out of that. That's going to impact the trajectory of the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Y'all been able to come in and in 1 year change that to an 82% decrease.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about impact. You talk about like changing somebody's life. Like I got chills like just thinking about that. Oh,
make no mistake. When that happens, you change. Not only do you change lives, you change generations.
Yeah, generations. 100% agree. Like this changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because the business owner and the entrepreneur in me is like, we should do this everywhere now.
Right.
But you guys
exactly.
are like.
And we have gotten a lot of great attention and a lot of knocks on the doors to which we are saying, whoa, that's amazing. Hold on. Let's make sure, as Fenwick Broyard, my colleague, likes to say, we don't want, until we've perfected the recipe, we don't want a franchise, right? And so we're right in the process of making sure not only can we cycle this data year over year, but also scale it. We want to make sure there's not something magical happening just at Stroud. Is it the leadership or the instructional coaches or something? So what's next? Starting this fall 2024, now that we've concluded a very successful pilot, we're going to be moving from one school to two. We're going to hold on to Stroud. We're adding Fowler Drive Elementary School. That's our official second school. And to be clear, when we say where do we start, where do we go next, the district is saying here's the next school that you should service. So we're, again, just like everything, we're kind of taking the cues from the community. So we're going to be in two schools this fall, and what we're hoping to see this year, this coming academic year, is similar efficacy at multiple schools, because at that point, we can feel extremely confident that it's not just a Stroud effect, it's truly the program. We're now cycling the data and scaling the data, and so at that point, essentially a year from now, if we're seeing similar progress, that's the point that we would want to go from two schools to five schools to eight, and really move our way across the district, really until we see district-wide third grade reading proficiency scores hit 60% or greater. Because once we've crested our initial goal, that's the point that we're going to say, okay, this is working. How do we secure it in perpetuity?
Love it.
So the business community, to be perfectly clear, we haven't said we're going to fund this for the rest of time. What our original offer was back in 2021, if they chose to engage with us, which thankfully they said yes, is if we can invest and create a mechanism that creates the change we all want to see, and we know it's the intervention and not just some random chance, which is why we need great research designers at the table, if we can achieve that, then we want to be able to pass the ball and then get comfortable, can move down the front to the next identified impact area. But we are in this for the long haul. We're going to stay here until we hit 60% or greater, and then we're going to make sure it's a very clean and sustainable handoff, and then we're going to figure out, where do we head next as a business community.
I love it. So you're like, we're not going to fund this or run this forever. We need the community and the business buy-in, which comes back to what you believe more than anybody is. As business owners, and you taught me this, in one trip, we got to quit pointing the finger and thinking our elected officials or our government's going to solve problems. And we got to take some responsibility as business owners, and we got to step up with our time and our money and our resources to solve problems.
I have said this 1,000 times, David, you heard me say this. The private sector cannot outsource, community development to the public sector, to the nonprofit sector. They have roles to play, to be sure, but we have a role to play too. And so what does it look like for all the sectors to be not just shooting resources in every which direction, but to be coordinating? That is, I think, the game changer that we're seeing here.
And I can say I spent 20 years in business, and I never had that mindset. I thought it was somebody else's problem to fix as a business owner. And so you have changed that for me in the last couple of years, and that's a piece I want you to speak on and help us across the board as business owners and entrepreneurs understand, hey, that's not somebody else's problem to fix. It's ours. And that seems like, I mean, I assume I'm in the majority. That's a mindset we got to change across the board.
Oh, I remember having, and I think we talked about this the other day. Matt sort of helped me, and Creature Comfort sort of helped me, like, take that idea in concrete. I remember having a conversation with Matt 4 or 5 years ago and thinking, man, if we could just, maybe we just do a ton of seminars on exactly how you guys have managed to bring this together and take corporate responsibility for, you know, improving our community. Maybe that's how we can get everybody else infected with that idea. We all have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as a business community to create the community that we most want to have. Good gracious, you may agree or disagree with local politicians. If you disagree, then maybe that's where you got to get involved. Or if not, then maybe where you need to be involved is like funneling your philanthropic efforts and maybe your time efforts into creating the community that you most want to have. We've grown to be a community, you know, across the country. We've grown to be a community of complainers.
Opinions and complaining.
I'm done complaining. I'm done complaining.
Oh, I love it. And this can be somewhat selfishly motivated also as a business owner. Number one, I get to be a part of something that's awesome that I don't have to put in a lot of the work for. That's a win. Number two, I get to write off anything I give you guys. I get to save some tax money. Number three, I am helping build the workforce and the development that's going to make the community and my future employees easier and my business grow faster and be able to grow something that provides a way more opportunity for me, for my employees, for my community, for my clients, and ultimately more money for everybody. And so this thing is riddled with short-term and long-term wins for all of us. So what's the need right now? I mean, I know there's probably a much more strategic plan and ways you guys want to approach this, but somebody listening to this podcast is like, this is awesome. I want to get involved today. Do y'all need time? Do you need money? Do you need money per month? Do you want a big check? What do you guys need? What do you want?
Yeah, the answer is yes. We need more dollars. We need more people to scale this thing countywide. We need to be able to predict today. We want to stay way ahead of like, oh my gosh, we need more dollars immediately to.
Sure.
So
I got to make payroll by Friday.
We truly need people strategically thinking ahead so that we have effectively the war chest where when the next round of infusion is necessary, we already got it. We don't have to go raise it. The truth of the matter is we need people become literacy mentors, which is really what's happening in the schools. That would take another 20 minutes just to say, Matt, what's producing these results? What's actually happening? I'll just give you a hint. We are funding agencies to actually create positions in the schools that are solely focused on this. Our main partner in this is a local nonprofit called Books for Keeps. Mm-hmm. So we're cutting them big checks to not only do all the programming expenses, purchasing books, creating the literacy games, making it a very awesome experience and so forth, but it's primarily helping them hire a school coordinator at each school that we're doing this program to be doing the recruiting, training of the volunteers, the matching with the students working with the district, and just doing the week in, week out blocking and tackling of all these different moving pieces. So to answer your question, we need people to sign up and say, I'll be a literacy mentor. I'm happy to show up once a week for 30 to 60 minutes during the academic year. And by the way, the nice thing about the reading blocks at CCSD schools are there's a lot of options. There are some that start quite early in the morning, that start as early as 8 a.m. and run through 11 a.m. Some of them are more in the early afternoon. So bottom line, if you are a person who cares about Athens in general or workforce development or early literacy in particular, all we need is at minimum 30 minutes of your time once a week between September and April during the academic year to show up consistently and to sit down with these kids and, you know, support their literacy journey. And to be clear, you don't have to be an ex-educator or even a parent to be equipped, to be trained, to be placed, to be matched with the student. But it's that consistency piece reinforcing the basics of literacy, phonics, sight words, reading comprehension, et cetera, which you are trained to do by the wonderful folks at Books for Keeps. So you can give your time. And you can go to booksforkeeps.org right now. You'll find it really easily. They are taking literacy mentor applications as we speak, and we'll be doing so right up until we kick off into the school year come fall. And then we need more finances. It's about roughly, there's going to be some economies of scale eventually, but it's about $70,000 per school per year to run this program.
That's nothing.
Which in the scheme of what we're going to pay 10 years from now is going to be. It's a drop in the bucket. It's a classic investment.
Take like $70,000 per person or per school.
$70,000 per school per year is how this thing runs. So the good news is
the price of a new Tahoe.
We
you
are
can
seeing,
change the trajectory of hundreds of students and their lives in our community.
It is. It's
wow.
And once again, in the spirit of transparency, nobody's cutting checks to Creature Comforts Brewing Co. That's not how this works. We cut our checks into the Get Comfortable Fund, which is where we're asking everyone to cut their checks. And the Get Comfortable Fund sits on the books of the Athens Area Community Foundation, which is a 501c3. So back to your point, everyone who cuts a dollar, it goes over there. It's a donor-advised fund at the Athens Area Community Foundation. And who's advising where the dollars go? That would be the Advisory Council of Get Comfortable, which is, again, all these stakeholders. So in short, the money sits over there, and you know, whenever we do our quarterly infusions, it's sitting there and ready to go out to continue the work. So we need more dollars, more folks.
And if we want to click the button and donate, we go to getcomfortable.com, or what's the
– Probably the easiest place just to say it. I mean, you can certainly go to the Athens Area Community Foundation website, and you can find it in their list. Yeah. The Get Comfortable Fund is what you're searching for. But another easy way in is if you're a fan of Creature Comforts Beer, go to creaturecomfortsbeer.com, and you'll see the impact page. You'll see Get Comfortable. You'll see the contribute button. And if you click that contribute button, that will take you directly to the donor portal at the Athens Area Community Foundation for the Get Comfortable Fund.
Love this. And here's my challenge to all you business owners and entrepreneurs out there listening is, what an awesome project. Get you and your employees involved with Books for Keeps to give your time. Get invested. Get hands-on, boots-on-the-ground experience to this thing. And then support it with your money and be able to attack it at both ends. And that's, man, talk about really starting to build momentum and being able to get a lot of people and a lot of things involved in a lot of conversations. And God, it builds engagement, employee retention. There's a culturally it's a fit. So for most of us business owners, we're looking for something like that anyway to bring us all together, to find those pieces that tie in core values and engagement and buy-in and community and feel good. And you guys have done it for us.
I mean, that was the goal. I mean, back to the mission, generosity of many. What we hoped is that if we as a singular business was going to devote an entire team to this, to do the legwork and to build the infrastructure and do all the things that we've talked about, if we were going to put in all this effort, what we hoped and what we've seen is we could raise a hand and say, hey, fellow business leaders in our community, if you want to be generous and confident in your generosity, meeting priorities, et cetera, join us. You know, align with us. And here's the cool thing, no matter what incredible, generous things any given business is doing off on its own, the cool thing about Get Comfortable is when you come out to all these happy hours and these, you know, biannual events where we're kind of doing updates and celebrations and here comes the next school and all, you know, all the engagement we do as a program, you get to come out and I think see the wow of, look at all the people here. Look at the 60 plus businesses and their staff. Look at all the advisory council. Look at all the school district folks. Look at these hundreds of volunteers that are actually in the school. I mean, look at all the people that are Get Comfortable. It really was always intended to be a we thing, you know, collectively, and not just a Creature Comforts thing, which is why, to be, you know, again, sake of clarity, why we never wanted to call this thing Creature Comforts Cares or something. Nothing wrong with that. But we wanted to create kind of a third space, like a third brand that anybody could embrace, which is why we kind of created everything external to Get Comfortable. I mean, to Creature Comforts. We wanted to be one of many sewing into the same coordinated thing.
I love it. And I love that y'all have built this roadmap for us to be able to do that. Now, as we wrap up this episode, this is my favorite part of the podcast. And this is where I get to put the two of you on the spot. This is the Stronger Business Podcast. And to get stronger, you have to max out. And so we, at the end of every episode, we do a max out moment for our audience. It's if you listen to this episode, you didn't hear anything else, this is a chance for you guys to each leave your max out moment. It's one tactic, one tip, one takeaway. It could be a call to action, could be a book to read, it could be go to donate your time this week, whatever it may be. Something our audience can go out and do or listen or get some advice on, something that'll make a difference in their business and their life. This is your chance to share a max out moment of this episode. Matt, David looks like he's worried over here. He's still thinking. So I'm going to start with you. If you get to leave your max out moment to our audience, what would it be? What advice would you give them, or what would you end with?
Yeah, I'll end with this. This is an analogy. Every analogy breaks down, but here's a helpful analogy. When any given person invests in their own personal future, i.e. retirement, they do one of two things, and hopefully both. They either do a ton of homework and research. How many more years am I going to be working? What do I currently have saved, if anything? What's my portfolio? Let me look at my 401k options. Which one of those? What data actually shows is a better investment? You know, nobody says, I'm going to put it all in Starbucks because Howard Schultz seems like a nice guy, right? Right? So we either do a ton of homework in terms of how do we maximize our investment in our personal future, or you hire a financial advisor, somebody who knows what they're talking about, and you ask them a bunch of questions, and you do exactly what they say. I don't even know you, listener, but you do, hopefully, you're doing one or both of those two things.
Correct.
When you invest in your personal future. My challenge to all of us is employ the exact same strategy when it comes to investing in the future of your community. Either do tons of homework, look at data, it's out there. Look at consensus community priorities, you can find them, and invest there. Or ask people who know exactly what they're talking about, who work in the trenches of this very dynamic space that is social services, and do exactly what they tell you. Do one of those two things. That is the analogy I've used. And I think, for the most part, we're really good and very strategic at investing in our personal future. We should be equally so as we invest in the future of our community.
100% agree. Man, I've never heard it phrased that way, and I think that is awesome. I love it. What an awesome max out moment. David, you're up. And I will say, you can't use the saying on your desk that you used last time.
No, I'm not.
It's got to be something completely new.
Very completely different.
You can't recycle the max out moment.
But I will say that we started the year, and I'm so blessedly pleased. You were fabulous at our annual meeting. Thematically, for the year, we want to dream courageously. Dreaming is important for everybody. Dreaming courageously is wanting to take reading proficiency from 20% to 60%. That takes courage, and right behind courage is commitment. I implore people to dream courageously whatever they are looking to try to do, but particularly as it relates to getting involved in the community. Dream courageously, just as Creature Comforts has chosen to do with third grade reading literacy. Dream courageously.
I love it, man. That is another awesome max out moment by David Bradley. Matt, David, thank you guys for being on the podcast. You all that are listening, go out this weekend, dream courageously, take action, and support that with data or hiring somebody that helps guide you in making those decisions. Don't just blindly give or blindly go out and do stuff. I think for all of us, that makes way more strategy and sense. Check out StrongerBusiness.com. We'll see you next week.
Be pretty decent.